Blog Talk Radio.
It is Thursday, April 13th, 2017. This is the PW Torch Livecast Impact Post Game Show. I am PWTorch.com's Mike McMahon with PWTorch.com's Andrew Zocek. Andrew, how are you tonight?
Mike, I'm doing good. We just got the finish we've been waiting 6 weeks for, so can't complain too much.
Let's go ahead and start with the main event, and then we'll run down the rest of the show from there. In the main event, Team Borash beat Team Matthews, or Team Goat, as he was calling it, in a 8-man tag. And as they set up earlier in the show, Josh Matthews said if his team lost the match, he would leave the announce booth. So the way that they've set this up now is that Josh Matthews is no longer part of the announce team. What were your thoughts on the main event and how the whole thing played out?
The main event was pretty good. It wasn't great, but it was the right finish. I felt kind of the problem with it was this was the end of the tapings. The crowd wasn't as into it as I was expecting them to be until near the end, but they gave us the right finish and the only finish that would have made fans happy at all. So overall, I'm happy with how it ended.
You know what? I thought it was a little strange, and here's why. I don't know if this was the original plan. The only reason I say that is, you know, they were mocking all the baby faces came out after the end of the match and they were sort of mocking Josh Matthews and waving bye to him. And Borash was pointing and sort of waving like, hey, you're out of here. One thing I picked up on, and I don't know if you noticed this, but both Josh Matthews and Jeremy Borash were holding house mics. So it seemed like to me like something else happened there that they cut out. And I don't know what that was, but it almost made me believe, was this intended to continue? And maybe they've read and have heard the negative reaction that the angle got, and they're letting it, you know, drop and die here. Because it looked like both those guys had house mics in their hand, and I'm assuming something happened and something was said, and we didn't see any of that. So I almost wonder, was this originally something different when they taped it and they moved or fudged things a little bit with the editing to get the angle to end with this match here?
That's interesting. No, I didn't catch that, that Matthews also had a mic. I guess it's possible. Yeah. Cause they taped, I can't remember, was it like 6 episodes in a row or something, or 4? So, definitely something could have came up that they felt they needed to adjust in post.
Yeah, because it also seemed to me that the a lot of the commentary tonight was done either live or it was recorded at some point this week. Because there was a point in the show where they made reference to El Patron's Periscope videos, and that stuff was happening last week. And there were some other timely references. I don't remember exactly what, but there were a couple of references to things that had happened, you know, within the last week or so. So it definitely seems like they redid the commentary track at some point, which we've talked about before. I mean, we've noticed that they've done that, or they've done that over the last couple of weeks. But you know, I wonder, because there were times tonight where I thought the commentary, I mean, and we've been saying this every week, but there were times tonight where I thought it's been the worst that it's been so far. I mean, just the three of them, and I think it was because of the match, but arguing over whose team was better and just, there were times where I literally just, I could not take the sound of Josh Matthews' voice anymore. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, it was, once again, overall, just brutal. I was kind of looking at my watch just to see what the first insult was, and it was 4 minutes into the show, and it was Borash taking a dig at Matthews. And that's also including opening video packages. So overall, it was probably 45 seconds before they felt the need to go at it.
Unbelievable. So I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about the main event, where the commentary and announce team is going to go from here. I mean, I guess, you know what, though, before we get to the other parts of the show, this is my biggest problem with the angle. We're talking about the announced team. You know, that's what we're leading this show with. We're talking about the commentary and who's the announcer and who got kicked off the announce table. I'm just not a fan of the announcers being the show, let alone the main event of the show. And yet that's been the biggest story. I mean, that's, to me, a problem from what we've seen with this new regime so far. They've made the commentary team part of the story, and they've made it a big part of the story. And I'm hoping, and maybe, you know, the fact that they had cut something there at the end, maybe this is an indication that they are dropping it and moving on from here. But I hope next week when they go live that it's Jeremy Borash, it's the Pope, and maybe they mention this match quickly, but that they move on and they go with the two-man booth and Josh does something. Well, you know, we've talked about him maybe managing or whatnot, but that he does something else from here on in.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. It's been dragging the show down. It's been overshadowing all these new returns. It's just mind-boggling how they hired all these people and paid them a lot of money to come in, and the main focus is still these two announcers. And it's not like they're Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler in their prime, even though that would have been ridiculous to do an angle between them. It's two guys that are okay to below average at their jobs.
WWE did a similar thing about 6 years ago, and it got a similar negative reaction. So why they thought it would be different now, not quite sure. You can give us a call at 515-605-9345. We're back here live on the PW Torch Live Pack live cast Impact post-game show. We had to take last week off. I was on the road, but we're back here live with you this week talking Impact at 515-605-9345. Remember, if you want to get in the caller queue and you are on hold, you got to hit number one on your phone while you're on hold, and that's going to put you in the caller queue to show us that you want to get on the air and talk about tonight's Impact. But let's start at the beginning of the show. They ran down a highlight video showing what happened last week where they set up this eight-man tag match. I thought it was a little interesting, though, that they showed Magnus's return as part of the highlight package. You know, it was just sort of included without the announcers talking about it until they had gone live into the actual Impact Zone. But I thought it sort of lessened the impact that his return had when they just sort of glossed over it almost in a highlight package. What were your thoughts on the way that they showcased Magnus returning?
I agree with you there. At first, it kind of caught my attention, just them showing it that way. But I thought they needed to cut right to a promo with Magnus live, him saying why he's back and why he came back at that point in time and what he hopes to accomplish. But yeah, just glossing over him and then never going to him the rest of the night was, I felt, a bit of a mistake on their part.
Yeah, you know, and I like the fact that they kept a little bit of a hook there. You know, they used the tease to try to get people to come back this week, and who was the guy in the suit coming into the building as the show went off the air last week. But, you know, one of the things, I think I mentioned this in the report, why couldn't they have gone into the show and then have maybe Jeremy Borash say, okay, look, we're going to show you the last 3 minutes of what happened last week, because that's when someone big, you know, returned to the company, and sort of show the whole thing as opposed to just him running. I mean, if you weren't paying close attention, you may have missed who it was, as opposed to if they said, hey, look, we're going to show you the last 3 minutes what happened last week. Here it is, because you got to see who my fourth guy is. And then, you know, throw back to Matthew's team beating up Borash's team in the ring, and then it's 4-on-3, and maybe music plays or he runs down or whatever the case is. But I would have rather at least show that in the whole scenario as it played out live. Even if you have to acknowledge it's taped, obviously, but say, hey, this happened last week, we're going to show it to you because you missed something big when we went off the air, as opposed to just throwing it in a highlight package where, like I said, you know, I was setting up, it's just kind of funny because I was setting up the report for the website as that highlight package was airing, and I had to rewind on my DVR quickly because I went, wait a minute, did I just, that, you know, realizing that we had an idea of who it might be, but, you know, I had to rewind to make sure, like, because you could have, I'm telling you, if you weren't paying attention, if you were on your phone at the beginning of the show when they're showing a highlight package, and that could be a moment where a lot of viewers are checking their phone or they're doing whatever, because if you're watching the show every week, you don't need the highlight package. You saw what happened last week. I think a lot of people may have, you know, may have missed that if you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the show should have opened with Borash going like, oh my God, you cannot believe what happened last week. I know you missed it, but luckily we got footage. One of the biggest stars out there has returned and he's on my side and I'm excited. But yeah, like you said, it was just like a silent video package. The video package was fine. I mean, it was nice they showed his career and whatnot, but yeah, it was like 30 seconds worth of footage that could have gone on anywhere else on the show.
Exactly. Yeah. So from there, they went to an opening match. Again, they got a match in the ring pretty quickly. We talked about this last week and we were both fans of that, but Reno Scum beats Decay, along with, and Laredo Kid and Garza Jr. in a triple threat tag team match. I thought this was a pretty good match. You know, at the same time though, it felt like it was just there sort of to serve as a backdrop for the opening round of Matthews and Borash just hurling insults at each other. Good win for Reno Scum. You know, we've talked about how they started them hot. They built them up and then didn't put the tag team titles on them. Obviously they went with LAX out of the tag team title match, but I thought this was a good match to get Reno Scum some momentum again. And also with Decay, taking the loss, I think it was Crazy Steve taking the pin, more indication that Decay's run here could be coming to an end.
Yeah, and I think that's a bit of a shame. The DCC never got over much, so I don't think that's a big loss if they end up breaking up, although Graham came out to their music. But DK, I thought, had something for a bit. The crowd seemed to like him. Rosemary is still over. She's still a credible wrestler. So I don't see why they're doing that. And like you said, it just felt like a backdrop to everything else that was going on. It just felt like one of those random 3-4-man X Division matches, because they didn't say, like, this is for the number one contendership or anything. It was just a match that happened and just ate up 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It was sort of just, like I said, to me, it felt like it was just there to serve as a backdrop for Borash and Matthews to argue. To sort of set up what was going to happen later on in the night. You can give us a call again at 515-605-9345. Just make sure to hit the number 1 on your phone, and that will get you on the caller queue. We have to take our first break. Andrew and I will be back with more in just a minute. We're going to continue to run down this episode of Impact, and we'll get to your calls in just a little bit. But before we go into the break, Andrew brings us the trivia questions again this week, and the first one is, which wrestlers competed on the legendary team known as Team Garrett for Lockdown in 2012? We'll have the answer to that question and more of our breakdown of this week's episode of Impact Wrestling right here on the PW Torch Livecast.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch Livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
All right, back here on the PW Torch Livecast, 515-605-9345 if you want to talk about tonight's episode of Impact Wrestling. Andrew, who were the wrestlers that compiled the team known as Team Garrett for Lockdown 2012? I like how you went with the team theme tonight, by the way, with the 8-man tag main event.
Yes, thank you. Team Garrett was Rob Van Dam, Mr. Anderson, Austin Aries, AJ Styles, and of course, the biggest name of them all, Garrett Bischoff. I don't know. That has always struck me as one of the weirdest teams they've ever compiled. And I don't think it quite panned out for them, that big Garrett push.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I always felt a little bad for him because I didn't think that he was terrible. And, of course, people gave him a lot of grief, but I'm sure he took some, you know, in the locker room too because he was Eric's kid. But, you know, if he wasn't Eric Bischoff's kid, and I'm not saying that he was great, but I always thought that he sort of got a little bit of a bad rap just because of who his dad was, and people thought he was taking someone's spot away. Thought he had a pretty good look. I mean, he wasn't the best wrestler, but, you know, maybe with some training, he I don't think was terrible. I mean, there certainly were worse guys, I think, that they brought in over that period of time, and then both before that and since then?
Yeah. I mean, I just never heard anyone defend Garrett Bischoff before. It just took me a.
I'm not saying he was Ric Flair. You know what I mean? But I don't think he was as bad. I don't think he was as bad as some people made him out to be.
Right. Oh, no, I agree. He could have been, I think he could have been a manager or a lower card, cocky, rich, privileged wrestler. I would take him over David Flair any day if I had to draft. So
there you go. Exactly. Yeah, me too. All right, let's get back to this week's episode of Impact. That's enough Garrett Bischoff talk, I think. let's get back to this episode of Impact. And after the opening match, they did an in-ring promo segment with Bruce Pritchard in EC3. And Bruce Pritchard announced that they ran a fan poll on the website, which I don't think they actually did. And that set up James Storm as the number one contender. So James Storm will face Bobby Lashley for the Impact world title next week on a live episode of the show. It's probably a semi-live. They usually tape a little earlier in the night and then air it the same night. So I'm not sure if it'll be actually live next week or if it'll be that, you know, 1 hour tape delay or whatever it is. But James Storm will challenge Bobby Lashley for the Impact world title on that show. And then after Pritchard made the announcement, EC3 came to the ring and they had somewhat of a heated exchange. They sort of teased another EC3 heel turn, I thought. And then, you know, for the second time here, they teased the heel turn only to have him back off it at the end. You know, they did it a couple of weeks ago with Karen Jarrett. And I think EC3, I think it was the next week, came to the ring and apologized to her. So they sort of teased that heel turn and then backed off of it. And then tonight it all happened in the same segment where it looked like he was going to turn on the crowd a little bit. At one point he said he was going to prove to these people, and it was just the way he said these people. But then towards the end of the promo, he shook Bruce Pritchard's hand and said he was going to go back and look in the mirror and figure out how he could prove to everybody he was worthy of a title shot. So sort of twice now where they've subtly teased the heel turn for EC3. I think they are going to go in that direction, and I think we saw the seed really planted tonight. I want to get your thoughts on this, but where Pritchard said they left this decision up to the crowd, up to the fan, and again, I don't believe they actually did. I think it's just storyline, but because I don't remember anything being on the website at all. And the fact that the storyline goes that the fans gave this opportunity to James Storm, I think that's where we're going to see the turn come into play. I think we're going to see EC3 turn on the fans because the fans were the ones that gave James Storm the title and not him. I think that's where this is going to go. What did you think of this segment, and where do you think they are ultimately going with EC3 here?
I was initially confused as well, thinking I had missed something about the poll. I don't think it's weird to lie about that, because they tell people all the time, go to impactwrestling.com. That's how the show ended last week. So I think there are probably easier, more honest ways to go about that. Overall, though, the segment works for me. I think EC3 is better as a heel. I think James Storm is better as a face. So I kind of like that aspect. Bruce Pritchard, though, I'm still not sure how I feel about his character or if he needs to be on TV that much. I'm always not a big fan of authority figures talking down to heels and them just kind of taking it, although I guess he hasn't officially turned yet. But overall, I would give it a hit.
The other thing that I thought was interesting about this, too, and it was on my list of three things I liked about this show, so we'll get to it later. But there was at one point where Pritchard said, hey, you know, saying to AC3, hey, don't be mad at me. You know, we did what you wanted us to do. You did what, because in the EC3 and James Storm had a promo segment the week before, and EC3 said it should be up to the fans who gets the title shot. And Pritchard said, we did that. You know, we left it up to the fans and they picked James Storm. And right as he said that, you could hear somebody in the audience yell, no, you didn't. And Pritchard said, like, we had the fans vote. And you could hear the voice again going, we never did. It was funny to me that, you know, they had someone that was, and why that wasn't caught in post production, I'm not sure. It just seems like it would be something pretty easy to edit out, but you could clearly hear someone yelling in the background, that never happened. It was, I just found that very funny.
Oh, that's awesome. No, I didn't catch that, but that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was one of the three things I liked about the show. After that, they went to a tag team match, KM and Sienna versus Allie and Braxton Sutter. Allie pinned Sienna in this match after she tripped over KM, and then they ran a post-match angle where Fury was unleashed, and Kongo Kong made his debut. He's another guy that as we talked about when we recorded our podcast, our review on Monday, another Global Force guy that's made his way onto the Impact roster. But Kongo Kong made his debut, climbed to the ring. He beat up Braxton Sutter. Laurel Van Ness came down and beat up Allie. And the segment ended with Sienna, KM, Kongo Kong, and Laurel Van Ness celebrating on the ramp while Braxton Sutter and Allie were trying to recover in the ring. What were your thoughts on this segment and the debut of Kongo Kong?
The match itself I didn't like. Once again, they're kind of just leaving Allie silent. It made Sienna look foolish, just the way she was pinned. So if they're trying to get her over as like a monster character in the division, that's not working. I did like the post-match stuff. Kongo Kong has a very interesting look. So maybe he could be a pretty solid monster character in the company. I haven't seen a lot of his work outside of that. I like the segment overall. Just the match didn't do much for me.
Yeah, I'd agree. I like the post-match stuff a lot. I thought Kongo Kong had a really interesting look. I'm with you. I haven't seen a lot of them at all outside of what we saw tonight. I think I've seen a couple of clips, I think, on YouTube, and that's about it. But he has a unique look. I mean, Impact hasn't had that big Samoan monster-type character not in a while, anyway. He sort of reminded me of a bigger version of, like, an Umaga. You remember back, like, 2006, 2007, where Umaga was really getting that big push in WWE, and he had Armando Estrada as the guy that was sort of controlling him and pulling the strings. It was very reminiscent of that, I think, because Kong was attacking Braxton Sutter at one point, and Sienna was the one that sort of barked at him to get out of the ring. And she was the one that was sort of taking control. And it reminded me a lot of that type of story, where you have the person that's sort of pulling the strings on the monster. And I think Kong could do some things, now and moving forward. But I agree with you. I don't think that this match helps Sienna at all. I mean, you're trying to get her over as a big monster in your knockouts division. She gets pinned after essentially tripping over her own teammate while holding Allie. I mean, I didn't think that made her look particularly strong, and probably hurt her more than it needed to. Although at the same time, they definitely made it clear. I mean, she was the one that made Laurel Van Ness get out of the ring. She was the one directing Kongo Kong. Even after she took the loss, they very much made it clear that of that group of four, she was the one in charge.
Yeah, and I wonder if part of the reason they're getting rid of DK, if that's the route they're going, is that they're going to turn these four into their own stable, which is fine. I mean, KM's going to need something. It'll give Laurel Van Ness something to do. So I'm not opposed to that idea. It just kind of made me think of that. Maybe that's why DK is kind of going away at the moment.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, they may not want too many of those groups altogether. You can give us a call again at 515-605-9345 if you want to talk about this episode of Impact or anything Impact. 515-605-9345. Just remember, when you call, if you want to get in the queue to get on the show, you do have to hit the number one while you're on hold. That's going to put up a little signal for us to let us know you want to get on the air. Moving on, after that match, they went to a knockouts match. Rosemary, speaking of Decay, she beat Santana Garrett in what I thought was a pretty good match. I thought Garrett looked pretty good as well. Gone in some pretty good offense on Rosemary, and I thought it was a pretty even match where Rosemary gets the win and then celebrates as after the match was over. I didn't think that it did anything more than it needed to do, but got Rosemary a win, and at the same time I thought it made Garrett look strong enough that if she came back in the division in another role, she wouldn't, she would fit in quite well.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought the match was pretty good. And like you said, it didn't like bury Santana at all. I think she did some pretty good work actually last time she was around. I think she was the last aligned with Sam Shaw in kind of a crazy psycho.
Yeah.
Thing, and then it just fell apart.
That's
yeah.
Right.
And then she, I think, went to NXT. And so I'm happy to see her back. I think she's more talented than most of the women we saw in the match that Battle Royal last week. So I'd like to see her stick around.
Yeah, that Battle Royal was a bit of a mess. We talked
yeah.
about that. You can check us out, by the way. Even though we weren't here last week, I know it's on the live cast feed. Andrew and I recorded a review of last week's Impact. It went on the feed, I think, Monday or Tuesday. You can check that out on the podcast feed for the PW Torch live cast. After that match, and this match, by the way, also was the match where they were talking about El Patron's drunk Periscope videos, which I thought was very interesting. And not all that smart. You know, I don't think it necessarily hurts anybody, but I'm just not sure what it accomplished either. I mean, you have a guy that was reportedly drunk. I think he admitted that he was drunk, actually, in one of the videos. Probably saying things that he may regret, you know, on a social media platform. And to have Matthews acknowledge it the way he did, you know, I think he told Borash, hey, you got to control your team on social media. And made a comment about El Patron's Periscope videos. I didn't like it, and I'm just not sure exactly what it accomplished, and that's why I didn't like it. Like, I'm fine if you want to bring up real things that are happening, whatever, that's fine. But I'm just not sure that this accomplished anything, other than it made El Patron look a little foolish. And I'm not sure that you really want to do that with a guy you're trying to build as your top babyface. Did you have any opposition to them sort of acknowledging that the way they did? Because I just didn't see the upside of it.
No, I mean, I agree with you. He's got to be one of their top two or three paid wrestlers at the moment. And they just brought him in. And yeah, his video wasn't, I don't think it made him look great. So just don't bring it up. Just, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So I was with you. I was surprised that they brought that up.
I mean, even if it was because management was mad at the videos, and maybe that was the case. Maybe they were like, oh, you know what? We don't want him doing stuff like that. I don't think the way to go about it, especially when he's pretty new in your company, I don't believe the way to go about it is to embarrass him on your television show. Because it doesn't help what you're – I mean, ultimately, he's there to draw. That's why you hired him. And it doesn't help his drawing power at all. And I don't really think it got heat on anybody in particular either. It was just Josh Matthews being Josh Matthews. I don't think Matthews needed to do it. I don't think it helped Patron. I just think it was useless, really. I mean, I don't think it was – it may not have been particularly harmful because it was just a throwaway line. And most people may have not have even heard it or forgot about it by the time the show ended. I just thought it was a dumb move at best. And really petty at worst if it was management upset at the videos and directed those guys to make a comment like that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be horrible if it was. I mean, over the years, Vince McMahon has been known to do that, kind of embarrass his talent on air, and that'd be horrible if that leaked on over to Impact. Yeah, like you said, it's just if it's not going to make him look better, if it's not going to make them any more money, just don't bring it up. I'm surprised that made it out of post.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was surprised too. Unless, you know what, it could have just been Josh Matthews trying to be Josh Matthews and trying to be a heel and what he thinks a heel is. And we could tell, you know, with comments like this that they obviously redubbed the commentary at some point. Maybe they were doing, I mean, play devil's advocate. Maybe they were doing the commentary live to tape and they were in studio in Nashville tonight and Josh Matthews just said it. And it just came out and no one was there to edit it. And that, you know, that was what it was. I mean, it could have been a situation like that too. I'm not sure if they necessarily did the commentary live to tape, if they flew those guys in just for that, but you know, who knows? Maybe that's what actually happened here.
Yeah. I'll be interested too, to see if there's just any sort of response at all from anyone over that. It's just it was a very strange thing.
Again, you can give us a call at 515-605-9345. We have to take our second timeout, though. Andrew and I will be back in a moment. We'll continue to wrap up the show, to break down the show, and you can get on the line as well as at 515-605-9345. Just remember to hit number one on your phone if you want to get in the caller queue. But before we go to our second break, it's our second trivia question, and that is, what were the names of Kurt Angle's personal security guards in the Main Event Mafia? We'll have the answer to that trivia question, your phone calls, and more of our thoughts on this week's episode of Impact right after this. You are listening to the PW Torch Livecast.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
Back here on the PW Torch Livecast, I am Mike McMahon with Andrew Socek. We are both of PWTorch.com. The PW Torch Livecast is here 5 days a week and sometimes 6 days a week. Wade Keller, the editor of the PW Torch, has the livecast on Monday nights after Raw goes off the air. He has it also on Tuesday nights when SmackDown goes off the air. Post-game shows for Raw and SmackDown Monday and Tuesday night here in the PW Torch Livecast. Wade is back on Wednesdays with the midweek flagship in the afternoon with a rotating panel of guest hosts, our guest co-hosts. On Thursday, it's Interview Thursday, and Wade has a guest on the afternoon version of the PW Torch Livecast on Thursdays. Andrew and I have the livecast on Thursday night, bringing you this edition and every edition of the Impact post-show. And then Fridays, it's the primetime edition of the livecast with Bruce Mitchell and Rich Van. So tune in to the PW Torch Livecast. You can also, of course, catch us on iTunes and any podcast device that you deem worthy of your podcast listening. A lot of people like a lot of different versions, a lot of different applications, of course. We are available on all of them. All you got to do is plug in the feed for the PW Torch Livecast, and you can listen on your mobile devices or any devices. All you got to do is search the PW Torch Livecast. You can give us a call on the show tonight at 515-605-9345. Again, just make sure to hit number one, and that will get you in the caller queue. Andrew and I will continue breaking down this episode of Impact. The next up, after the match with Rosemary and Santana Garrett, it was an X Division match where Andrew Everett beat Marche Rocket, Suicide, and Gregory Shane Helms in a four-way. Another step, it looks like, Andrew, towards Andrew Everett earning a shot at the X Division title.
Yes. Sorry, I got to throw in the answer to that trivia question.
Oh, that's right. The question, by the way, was, what were the names of Kurt Angle's personal security guards in the main event Mafia?
It was Sally Boy and Big Rocco. They were briefly henchmen for Mick Foley. They were Phi Delta Slam, and then they found their way into the main event Mafia for a little bit.
Those are awesome names, too, by the way.
Agreed.
I forgot about those guys. Oh, man. What were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it was a... Okay, so first of all, I would have played up Shane Helms actually returning to action. Like, he's been around the company for a year and a half, I think, and hasn't wrestled at all. So I would have made that... I would have built that up weeks ahead of time for him and Andrew Everett to have a one-on-one match. But they just kind of threw him out there. So he did more than I thought he was going to do. I thought he was only going to run around a bit. So I would have built that up. And then, it was just your typical three, four-man X Division match. It was fine, though. Andrew Everett continues to look good. The crowd seems to be getting behind him. Nothing mind-blowing, but it was fine.
Yeah, that was pretty much my reaction as well. It was fine. They did, I think, what they needed to do in terms of getting Everett over and getting him a little closer towards that X Division championship match at some point. I mean, they're obviously building towards Andrew Everett against Trevor Lee again. I agree. You know, I was a little worried when Helms just ducked out of the ring, you know, at the very beginning. I was like, oh, here we go. But you know what? He got more involved than I thought, and I thought looked okay, too, to be quite honest with you. And then I like the angle at the end. I mean, they after the match, Helms and Trevor Lee were beating up Andrew Everett, and it was a two-on-one, but Everett was able to counter and get himself out of it and ended up leaving Trevor Lee laying in the ring while Shane Helms retreated. You know, it's been a a slow build in some respects, but I think they're doing a pretty good job of gaining some momentum for Andrew Everett. And the X division finally has a story, at least a little bit of a story, instead of just random guys being thrown in the ring. They're still in love with multi-man matches when it comes to the X division. I don't know why these guys can't get just a one-on-one match, but I think they're doing a pretty good job of telling a story with these guys, and that's something they haven't done, I think, for a considerable amount of time now, to really tell a good story with the X division instead of just throwing them out there and letting them do high spots.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, if nothing else, they're actually giving Andrew Everett a chance. They're giving him wins. They're making him look good. They're letting him talk, which the vast majority of them never had. I mean, Marcia Rocket has never talked. Suicide hasn't said anything since his return. So they're at least trying, and I like that.
After that, they moved on to Davey Richards against DJZ. Davey Richards picks up the win with an ankle lock submission, forcing DJZ to tap out. What were your thoughts on this Davey Richards-DJZ match and the win here for Richards coming off the last man standing match against Eddie Edwards last week?
I think Richards right now is fantastic. We talked about that a couple days ago for last week. I wish it didn't come at the expense to DJZ. I still think there's something in him. I think he should be a top person in the X division, but I guess right now you're going all in on Richards, so make him look strong. I think he's doing great work with Angelina Love. I like their backstage segment where the cameraman just tried to talk to him, and instead they just made out the whole time. So I think they're doing great work right now.
I thought this was a really good match. DJZ put up a pretty good fight, I thought, and I don't think it hurt him taking the submission, especially with the announcers playing up the fact that he has an ankle injury. So as soon as the ankle lock put on, he needed to tap out because his ankles hurt. I thought they did a good job. And this is when the announcing was the one point, I think, tonight where the announcing was really good. They covered for the baby face. They said, hey, look, DJZ may have tapped out, but he's got an ankle injury. He couldn't sustain the pressure of the ankle lock. That's why he tapped out so quickly. He didn't have a choice. And I thought that was good. You know, I thought that the announcers covering for DJZ there, even though he tapped out, it made Davey Richards still look pretty vicious. And I don't think it hurt DJZ all that much, even though he took a clean loss. This was a situation where you give a guy a clean loss, but you have the announcers give the babyface not an excuse. I mean, it is sort of making an excuse, but at least giving him a reason for why he tapped out. It makes the heel look like a heel. It makes the heel look strong. And I don't think your babyface got hurt by it. And you didn't need, you know, a DQ. You didn't need run-ins to save the guy and save face. You did it simply by the announcers explaining something. I thought that part of it was really well done.
Yeah, I like that he, like you said, he as soon as the hold was applied, he tapped out immediately. Like, so that shows you that something is up. Otherwise, he just has the most dangerous ankle lock ever. But yeah, it was a good match, and hopefully DJZ recovers from injury soon. It sounds like that was pretty brutal.
Yeah, hopefully he does, because he's a guy that they can do a lot with, I think, in the next division and have for a while. Also, they ran a post-match angle here where Eddie Edwards ran out with a bunch of people in security, sort of dragging them apart. And Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards were kept apart by security. I think there was two or three guys on each of Edwards and Richards. And then Eddie Edwards' wife ran down and attacked Angelina Love in the ring. Then they were held apart by security. So it also seems like they are building towards a mixed tag team match here, I would imagine, at some point, with husband and wife against husband and wife.
Yeah, which I think is a good next chapter for them to go. I'm just a big fan of pull-apart brawls in general, because I think wrestling promotions give away way too much contact. So keeping them apart, I think, worked, and the crowd was into it. So, yeah, I hope they build this up for a few more weeks until we actually see the two teams go at it.
Me too, yeah, and I hope that they give a reason for these guys to stay apart, because one of the things that I had in my head tonight is they are building up the pull-apart so much that these guys just want to kill each other. One of my concerns is, how are you going to make it believable that they would just stand on the ring apron when their wives are in the middle of fighting each other in a match? These guys have done nothing but want to kill each other for the better part of 2 months. How are you going to make the audience believe that they would just stand there, you know, and not immediately just run and attack each other the entire time. That's something that you could easily explain. You know, you could say, hey, look, I mean, there's a number of ways you could do it. You could have someone tell them that they're fired if they touch each other when they're not legal or something. I mean, you can come up with reasons, or you could just do it and hope that no one says anything about it. And it might just be something that would bother me a little bit. But I just think that they're really building this up. So I almost feel like there needs to be a chapter in between where they are now and the mixed tag match. I don't know what that chapter necessarily has to be. Maybe it's that they finally have to get their hands on each other just to blow off a little bit of that steam before they end up in the mixed tag match, I guess. But or you know, who knows if they do that or if they just go right into it.
Yeah, I would like that too if they had some sort of storyline reason why they couldn't just, like, you know, like you said, go at it. Because they've opened up a few weeks ago, they opened up a show with those two just brawling in the impact zone. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, they want to kill each other. So I'm not expecting them to give us a good reason, but it would be great if they did.
Yeah, exactly. After that match, they went to the main event. This is a pretty long main event, the 8-man tag, where Magnus, Chris Adonis, Alberto El Patron, and Matt Morgan beat Lashley, Eli Drake, Tyrus, and Bram. And, of course, we talked about the announcing, and Josh Matthews is apparently off the announce team now. It looks like it'll be Jeremy Borash and Pope moving forward. At least that's how they've set this up. I guess we'll see for sure next week. But what were your thoughts on the guys who returned here, specifically Magnus, Adonis, and Matt Morgan, basically almost all of Jeremy Borash's team? What were your thoughts on those three guys and how they looked in their returns?
I thought all of them looked good. I kind of just tying into how we started the show. This shouldn't have been the first match for all three guys, especially Adonis. Like, he needed to be reestablished. He came in during the Global Force Wrestling Invasion as Chris Mordetsky, I think, and then had a couple of matches. So I think a lot of people out there never saw his Chris Masters run, especially at his peak, because that was 8 years ago, maybe around that.
That was a long time ago.
Matt Morgan, I thought, looked impressive considering that. I don't think he's wrestled in about a year. What's that?
Yeah, I was trying to think with Adonis, when was he, I have to look this up, when was he originally released? I thought he was one of the guys released like the fall after the whole Benoit thing happened in 2007. I remember they released like 10 guys in the fall of 2007. And I thought he may have been part of that, but I think he came back to WWE for a short period at 1.2, but you're right. I mean, for a lot of people, he hasn't been on television for probably at least 5 or 6 years, at least, if not longer.
Yeah. And when he, like, his peak was like 2008-ish, and then, yeah, he was released. He came back. He did like a silly comedy peck dancing gimmick.
Yeah.
So nobody's seen him as a legitimate guy in a long time. So so he should have been featured more because, there's kids out there who are 12 watching this who have no idea who this guy is. Morgan looked good.
And it should be noted here, too, you know, he was taking a lot of the heat there. You know, in the match, they were really building the heat on Adonis. He was the one taking the beating and making the hot tag, I think, to Matt Morgan towards the end. So what we saw from Chris Adonis tonight was him basically getting beat up for most of the match.
Yeah, it was bizarre. Maybe management doesn't have plans for him, but then I don't know why they would just bring him in and give him like a fairly prominent role, because, you know, a TNA original or somebody else could have taken that spot, but they gave it to him. So, otherwise, I mean, Magnus looked good. Matt Morgan looked good. But just everyone should have just had like squash matches or been featured in their own way and not been under the control of these announcers.
Yeah, and I agree with you, too. I think the booking here, putting all three of those guys in this match, I mean, it was a big match, obviously, and it was an important match, I guess, within the context of the show. But it also, I think it hurt their ability to get each individual guy over because they all sort of got lost. I mean, there's eight guys out there. You got three guys who were returning to your company. It didn't really give the chance for any of them to shine. I guess you could probably make the argument that Matt Morgan shined the most. I mean, he was the guy that got the hot tag. He sort of came in and cleaned house and threw some choke slams. But I think that booking it this way probably hurt Magnus. I think it probably hurt Adonis. And I'm not saying it necessarily hurt them. What I mean by that is it made them – it was less of an impact, I think, than it would have been if you found another way to debut them or re-debut them. Can you hear me? There you are.
Okay. Oh, man. Oh, man, I forgot what I was saying.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that I think it didn't necessarily hurt those guys.
Yes.
But I don't think it helped them as much. I think their impact was lessened by the way that they were re-debuted here. I don't think it necessarily was bad. I don't think it necessarily made them look bad or hurt them overall. But I feel like they could have made a bigger impact if they were maybe re-debuted separately somehow.
Yes, completely agree. Yeah, especially, Magnus should have came in, looked like a star, got to cut a promo, win a match. But being JB's associate or henchman for the night, I don't think did him very many favors.
Also, another thing that I thought was interesting about this match is we saw Magnus come out with the Global Force world title. And this was something I know we talked about on Monday and how they're going to integrate the two brands together. Not that I think Global Force has much of a brand to integrate, to be quite honest with you, but Magnus carried out the Global Force world title. We've seen Cody Rhodes carry out his next gen title. That's got to be going somewhere. if Global Force isn't going to be a separate company, and you know, we just talked the other day, I don't think it is. This has got to be leading up to something, you know, whether it's some type of unification match between Magnus and Lashley, and maybe unifying the next gen and grand championships. This has got to be leading somewhere, I would imagine, with both of these titles. If not, why have the guys walk around with the belts? You know, why have Magnus show up with his Global Force title if you're not going to do anything with it?
Yeah, and like we said on the last show, I'm hoping they just merge these titles. Still to this point, it's been like six episodes in, they have not explained what Global Force Wrestling is or who's there. Or I guess they showed tonight Jeff Jarrett wearing a Global Force Wrestling shirt in one of the video packages, but that doesn't really mean anything
they
to anyone.
Did, yeah.
So, yeah, just whatever they're getting to, I hope they get to it, and I hope it's not overwhelming. They just need to get into regular storylines with the Impact roster and not do a big invasion, not talk about Global Force Wrestling a lot, just merge these titles and get it over with, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like they're doing something. It's just, you know, it's more along the lines of let's get to it. at least explain why you got these guys on your TV. Another thing I noticed about this match and this commentary again, but they were doing it throughout the night. I noticed it a lot in the beginning of this match. They were using, especially Josh Matthews, I think, was using a lot of insider terms. And it felt very much like WCW to me, but back when WCW was dying under Vince Russo, when they would tell you, oh, this isn't part of the script, to try to make it feel like someone broke script, but in reality everybody knew what they were saying was not part of the script, was actually part of the script. They were using a lot of insider terms then too. And Josh Matthews is doing this here as well. I think, you know, at one point he called Jeremy Borash a mark, and he was just, I forget exactly all the terms that they were using, but it didn't feel right to me. You know, it just felt like it felt very forced, and I don't know. I didn't like it when WCW did it in like 99, 2000. I didn't like it here. You know, we're watching the pro wrestling show. We don't need to be bombarded with all these insider terms. We know what they are. You know what I mean? Like, let's just stick to what's on the show, please.
I completely agree. I hated that stuff in 1999 when they did it, and stuff like, you know, they didn't think Goldberg was going to lay down and do the job at a pay-per-view, and nobody liked it then. So and Vince Russo, I hope he's not in the company secretly. But yeah, that him calling a mark, that stood out to me. I caught that too. So I was just
and he said it a couple of times too.
Yeah, at least for sure, at least twice I heard him yell that he's a mark. Just,
yeah,
they just need to get over themselves in that aspect and trying to rile up the internet because it doesn't make for good TV. It's just annoying.
Well, that's what I think it is. Yeah, you've got a segment of the audience that probably doesn't know what the hell you're talking about. And they're like, you know, you might have the casual fan that goes, what's a mark? And I have no idea what you mean.
Uh-huh.
And I think the people that do understand what they mean, it's not endearing to them at all. It's just aggravating them. And like you said, it annoys them. So what are you accomplishing by it? You've got some people, some segment of your audience that probably has no idea what you're talking about. And the ones that do know what you're talking about are annoyed by it. So why do it? And maybe it was, I mean, maybe their defense of that is, well, Josh Matthews is a heel and he was being a heel. So it got you upset like it should. I would argue that most of this announcer angle has gotten people upset, but not in the way you want a heel to get people upset. It's just gotten people annoyed with the product. And that's not a good thing. You know, that's going to force, I think, people to change the channel more than it's going to force people to get upset and want to see someone get what's coming. I mean, because think about this. You've got this whole announcer angle that they've been running now for 6 weeks or whatever it's been. And the whole time they've been putting the heat on Josh Matthews. Josh Matthews is the heel. They've been putting the heat on Matthews, putting the heat on Matthews. And what was the payoff? He gets kicked off the announce team? I mean, I guess that's a payoff, but the payoff, it's wrestling. The payoff should be you want to pay to see someone get beat up. And there was no physicality there, and I'm not sure there was ever going to be. So, to me, you've just ended up wasting your time. You know, instead of just running a quick angle to get Matthews off the announce table and get Borash on the announce team, if that was the goal, if the goal was we want Josh Matthews to be not the announcer anymore, we want Jeremy Borash to be the announcer, there's so many more ways you can do that the last 6 or 7 weeks, however long it's been. And I think it's distracted from the rest of the show because ultimately the announcers are there, and we've talked about this, they're there to build up what's going on TV, and they're there to build up what's going on in the ring. And too many of these matches have gone by with Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews just arguing with each other. I think it's taken away from too much of what else they're trying to do on the show, especially when they have so many new guys who they're trying to build. Guys in the ring that the announcers should be talking about and putting over. Instead, you've got Josh Matthews and Jeremy Borash is arguing with each other and putting over themselves. Over the long haul, and that's why I hope they drop this now, I think this could do some real long-term damage if they stick with this any longer than they have.
Completely agree. Like, the biggest, like, most buzzworthy impact has been in the past 2 months was the Hardys leaving. Like, there's a lot of bad will towards them right now and angering fans and annoying them with this stuff. I can't even imagine why they think this is a good idea. And like you said, they keep focusing on the announcers. They keep cutting to them. They keep talking. There are so many people on that roster who just need 30 seconds or a minute to talk each week. Like, what does James Storm feel about getting his first heavyweight title shot in a couple of years? Like, I want to hear that. I don't want to hear Josh Matthews and Jeremy Borash argue at ringside for 2 minutes. It's just bad what they are doing. And hopefully it's over with, but even then I'm afraid Matthews is going to pull a Michael Cole, come up with a coal mine, and try to wiggle his way back on the commentary.
I mean, the one thing that makes me nervous about it, and by the way, I completely agree with you. James Storm has a world title match next week. All we saw of James Storm tonight was on a split screen where he found out he was going to get that title shot. We didn't hear from him once.
Yeah.
And they wasted a lot of time with some other things. But the thing that has me nervous about are they going to continue with this was the fact that it was never made really an official stipulation. Josh Matthews just said if his team lost, he would leave. And maybe that's because, again, maybe that's because this was all made up on the fly. And they never taped anything with anybody in an official capacity making that the stipulation. But it still, I think, leaves the door, at least for me, it leaves the door too much open that we could come back next week and Josh Matthews could say, well, I didn't mean it, so I'm still here. No one fired me. That was never official, and I'm still here. I hope that's not the case. My hope is that this was not the original intent. They're listening to the backlash, and we're looking for a way to work in Josh Matthews leaving. Because, again, and there were some edits here that made it look like there was something else going on that they edited out. The biggest one to me being the fact that Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews both had house mics in their hand as the show was going off the air, and they never used them. So I hope that the door is not left open for him to come back and that they try to pull one over on people. I hope that it was, hey, we got to figure out a way to get him off TV. We know his team loses. Let's figure out a way to do this. I think there were some other ways you could do it. I mean, I think you could have had, because I don't think Jeremy Borash ever made that promise if his team lost, that he would leave the announce booth. I don't think that was, and maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember Matthews saying if his team lost, he would leave. I don't remember Borash saying that, which I think gave away the ending a little bit, but at the same time, maybe I wouldn't have as many concerns about this thing playing out if they had both guys agree to that stipulation at some point during the show, and then you watch Matthews' team lose. I hope that they're not keeping the door propped open here for Matthews to come out next week and go, well, who said, I didn't say that. Who said that? No one's making me leave. You know, we never signed anything. And that they just continue going on with whatever they're doing, because I think that would be a big mistake.
Yeah, and you're right. Jeremy Borash never said, like, if his team loses, he's done. So that was like you said, it gave it away. My other fear, too, if I can just keep piling on some fears, is that even if he's off of commentary, Josh is going to come back and he's going to be in the top angle or the second top angle, because he still has beef with Karen Jarrett. He's probably going to come back after her, try to get his job back. He's going to get involved with Madison Rayne, which that would be fine, but I think he's going to go higher. He's going to go to the top, and he's going to be a presence on TV for months. I hope I'm wrong, but that's kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen.
And we'll see, because I know, you know, you and I have talked about this in the past too. Maybe Josh Matthews in 10 or 15 minute segments, maybe that shtick is more tolerable than over a 2-hour show. You know, maybe Josh Matthews is a heel in a 15-minute promo segment, and then he's gone, you don't see him the rest of the night, is easier to take than it is when it's 120 minutes of him on commentary, especially because you would think Jeremy Borash is now going to be able to just be the straight announcer. He's not going to have to argue with anybody and constantly bicker with someone on the announce table either. And just taking that voice away from the actual announce booth maybe helps everything maybe balance out a little bit more. And make Josh Matthews, just the heel character, more tolerable.
Yeah, and just the show, if he's gone, the show in general should move up a couple points, like every week, because it has been some of the worst I've ever heard. So it needs to be done. And like you said, or I guess we talked about before, if he wants to come on TV for a few minutes a week and be a manager, he can give that a shot. Maybe it'll work. But as an announcer, that experiment needs to be done.
All right, we're going to take our last break. You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast Impact Post Show. Andrew and I will be back with the three things we liked about this episode of Impact and to wrap up the show. But first, we're going to take a quick time out for you to hear about PW Torch VIP. Andrew and I will be back in just a moment with the three things we liked about Impact, and we'll wrap up the show right after this. You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast Impact Post Show.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at RingRustRadio and email us at RingRustRadio@yahoo.com.
Back here on the PW Torch Livecast, Mike McMahon and Andrew Stochek with you, breaking down this week's episode of Impact Wrestling. Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan will be back with a primetime edition of the show tomorrow night. I think it's 7 p.m. Eastern Time, the primetime edition of the PW Torch Livecast. Wade Keller, the editor of the PW Torch, will be here on Monday and Tuesday with Raw and SmackDown post shows. Wade is back with the Midweek Flagship on Wednesday afternoons. Thursday afternoons, it's Interview Thursday. Wade has a guest every Thursday afternoon. And then Andrew and I will be back here again on next Thursday night on the PW Torch livecast, talking about what is going to be a live episode of Impact Wrestling, or at least a semi-live interview, semi-live episode of Impact Wrestling. Speaking of Interview Thursday, Wade had an interview with former WWE ring announcer Justin Roberts earlier today on the livecast. Very timely interview with his book, of course, in the news this week with everything happening between JBL and Mauro Ranallo and some comments that Justin Roberts made in his book, which was recently released. So you check out that interview from earlier today on the PW Torch livecast, Wade Keller and Justin Roberts. Andrew and I are going to list the three things we liked about this episode of Impact Wrestling. Andrew, what was the number three thing on your list of things you liked about this episode?
So I'm going to try to be fair here. Josh Matthews has driven me absolutely crazy for the past 6 weeks, but he did say something tonight that got me to laugh, and so I'm going to list it. When he kept talking about the movie You've Got Mail and how that's coming up, and he said after his team wins, they're all going to go like drink champagne and watch You've Got Mail together in the hotel room, and just the vision of that in my mind made me laugh. So I'm giving it a hit.
Hey, you know what? We've been harping on him for 6 or 7 straight weeks. He can get a little bit of love. My number three thing that I had on my list was, and I mentioned earlier, whoever it was, and if you're listening, if you're a listener, awesome, well, job well done. Whoever was in the crowd during the Bruce Pritchard promo where he said, "We had the fans vote on who's going to be the new world champion." Whoever it was screaming, "No, you didn't!" as soon as Bruce Pritchard said that. You're one of my favorite things of the week. Hearing that person chime in the background, definitely gave me a chuckle. So job well done. What was the number two thing you had on your list?
My number two. So last week they started open the show with a match. Like as soon as the bell rang, the show started, the match started. So, and this week they started off with some vignettes, which I thought was kind of cool. They did the, what turned out to be Congo Kong one. And then they also did the Veterans of War one. They ran it twice, but they opened the show up with that. And I thought that was pretty cool, just like a different way to open up the show.
Yeah, absolutely. They ran those video clips and then went right to a match. And we talked about this, I think, on Monday, too, just different ways to start the show rather than your typical, here's a 25-minute promo segment to open the show. TNA trying to do something different. I think that's good. The number two thing that I had was similar. You know, I thought they delivered on the vignettes for Fury Unleashed with the debut of Congo Kong. It wasn't... You know, there was a little bit of mystery. I mean, we never saw him in the vignettes, as far as I know. We knew it had something to do with Braxton Sutter and Ali because we had seen pictures of them over the course of the vignettes. But I thought that those videos were well produced, and I thought they delivered with his debut. You know, it wasn't just somebody returning, and it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't anything lackluster. This is a guy that I think they have plans to do something with, and just his overall look, it's so different. I thought that they delivered with the payoff on those vignettes.
Yeah, I agree, too. Those vignettes, it's just this entire era, new era so far, has been a huge improvement in videos, the look of the show. So that, I mean, if nothing else, Impact looks better, and there's some nice little hooks to tune in the following week. And those, I thought, were pretty well shot. And yeah, like you said, I think they paid off. I'm curious to see how Congo Kong does in the future, and I'm glad it wasn't a letdown.
What was the number one thing you had on your list of things you liked about the show?
I guess we've gone through it all night, but I have to go. Josh Matthews is gone. It's the most obvious pick. He may not even be gone, but for 30 seconds, I became a believer again, and I was counting along with that pinfall, and I was very excited. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, maybe he'll come back, but I let myself just buy into that moment that Josh may be gone from commentary.
I that would be number one on my list, too. I'm reserving it until next week because I want to make sure he's actually gone. You know, it's like the horror movie where you think you kill the villain and then all of a sudden he shows up and he's still alive. I want to make sure that sucker's dead before I go before I get real too happy that they finally are making a change there. But the number one thing that I had on my list of things I liked about this episode, and you alluded to it earlier, the Davey Richards stuff has been awesome for weeks. But I thought the backstage segment with him and Angelina Love Tonight was really good. I thought his ring entrance was really good. I thought the aggressiveness that he showed in the ring was great. One of the things that I like most about the segment, I don't know if it was done intentional, but Davey Richards just seems like he's animalistic right now. You know, really aggressive, doesn't seem to be showing any type of heart towards his old partner at all. Although he did a little bit last week before Angelina Love pulled the strings clearly and told him to deliver that kick with the chain. That was the first little hint that maybe she's the one pulling the strings here. But one visual that I thought was just unbelievable on this show, and it may not have even been intentional, but Angelina Love and Davey Richards were doing a lot of kissing backstage. They were doing a lot of kissing during the ring entrance. And the visual of he had lipstick sort of smeared all over his mouth as he was in getting ready for the match, right before the match, and during the match. And I just thought it fit. Like, you've got this guy that's just been such a savage on TV lately. It almost looked like he was kind of bleeding from his mouth. And it came with his visual between that and of course the makeup that he wears on his chest. Like, I just thought it was really cool. I mean, he didn't wipe it off. It had a unique visual to it. And just their whole demeanor and the way they've been playing off of each other. You know, Davey Richards has done a lot of really great things, not only in Impact, but back in Ring of Honor. He might be doing the best work of his career from a pure character standpoint. You know, he's had some really unbelievable matches in Ring of Honor, but he might, from just a straight up character standpoint, he might be doing the best work of his career right now. I think him and Angelina Love have obviously a natural chemistry there. They're married for a reason. But he's been great. And I think this turn has done a lot for him.
Yeah. It's been great. It kind of got me thinking, like, if say Bray Wyatt or Randy Orton felt half as dangerous and real as Davey Richards does, they would just be so much better off. I think he's just about the best act in wrestling right now. Yeah, I love the pairing with Angelina Love. I actually did think he was bleeding at first too. A great team, great visuals. They deliver in the ring. I'm so happy that TNA has not dropped the ball on this. I mean, Impact. And, I hope it continues. It's been a lot of fun to watch so far.
Me too. All right. Anything else you want to add before we get out of here for this week?
Not Impact related, but I just wanted to plug quick that along with Wade, I'm helping bringing back pwpodcast.com, kind of your go-to destination for all things pro wrestling podcasts. There's so many of them out there, Jim Ross, Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard. So we got a lot of great contributors sending in reports from all the big shows. I'm posting news pieces every day from various interviews and podcasts, so check that out. It's only been back for like a week, but we're going to keep getting in more reviews and it's going to keep getting bigger. So pwpodcast.com.
Absolutely. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you listen to a lot more. So check that out. Of course, check out Andrew's column on tonight's episode of Impact. Tomorrow on pwtorch.com. You can check out my report on pwtorch.com as well. I also was at SmackDown taping the other night. I have an in-person report on that up on pwtorch.com. And, of course, continue to listen to the live cast, go VAP, all that good stuff. You can do all of that at pwtorch.com. So that'll do it for this week's edition of the Impact post-show edition of the PW Torch live cast. Andrew and I will be back next week. We'll have a lot to talk about, a live episode of Impact, so who knows what's going to happen, and a world title match to boot. So Andrew and I will talk to you next Thursday night as soon as Impact goes off the air right here on the PW Torch live cast Impact post-show.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. This is Live.